Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 1, we finished verses 20 and 21. We will begin a new passage today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Today we continue studying the book of Colossians. We'll be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. I have titled this portion, A Special Presentation. My friend, let me encourage you to call others and ask them to listen in to this message. If you'd like to have a copy of this entire message, which will normally take about 3 days to air over the radio, then let me encourage you to write us for a gift of $5, and we'll mail that to you. Write down the passage, Colossians 1, 22 and 23, also the title, A Special Presentation, what radio station you have heard this broadcast. As a matter of fact, we've found recently that it's even best to tell us what date you heard this broadcast. And so all of this would be a big help to us and help us to expedite the matter much more quickly. Also, as we continue in our day-by-day studies, Monday through Fridays, at this time on the radio station by which you are listening, let me also encourage you to call others and ask them to listen in as well. This is how Lamp and Light Ministries grow. We need your help. Please, please encourage others to help. Have pencil and paper ready and follow along as we study. Use the good old King James Bible. My friend, you'll never go wrong with that. That's what we use here. And that way, with our word studies, we're all on the same page, and we're using absolutely the best translation of the Bible. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 21 that we covered last time, and then go on to verses 22 and 23. The thought of verses 22 and 23 sound a little bit more complete if we read 21 with it. And so, reading Colossians 1, 21, and you, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The Lord Jesus Christ made peace for us with God by his blood. In the body of his flesh, through death, he says there. It would seem then to our finite minds that the moment he saves us, we should be caught up to heaven and receive glorified bodies, live forever in glory. But he leaves us here after salvation for a purpose. He has more he wants to do in us as well as through us. Let us imagine that a man buys an old junker car. It's his. He has full title to it. Then he goes through this old piece of junk and he reupholsters it, soups up the engine, repaints it, does all the body and interior work, and after a while it looks pretty good. Well, the car was his the moment he bought it. But there's so much more he wants to do with it before it goes on the road. Now that you're the Lord's, if you're saved, he may have taken you just an old wicked wretch. But my friend, he wants to work in you. As a matter of fact, he'll work in you before he works through you. And even when he does work through you, he'll continue to work in you. Now let us remember where we are in this chapter. Paul tells how thankful to God he is and how he prays for them since hearing of their faith, love, and hope. Then he tells them how he prays for them. listing for them his specific request in verses 9 through 11. Then he thanks God for what he has done for us, especially noting the redemption through his blood. Now, much will be said about the body and blood of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of him, and there's a reason for that. The Gnostics who had started to invade the church said that all matter is evil. Creation of the material universe was not by God because he wouldn't create matter because he wouldn't create evil. They would also say Jesus is not the Son of God since he has a body. And they would tell you that only the spirit and the mind are good. And so Paul, in writing this letter to the Colossians, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God giving him every word of this epistle, he tells them that Christ is Almighty God in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. And he goes on to tell them that in Jesus Christ, all fullness dwells. They have sinned in spirit. Verse 21 called them enemies in your mind. Their salvation was via the shed blood of Jesus Christ in the body of flesh through death, and of course his resurrection. So all those terms like that would just cut against the grain of the Gnostics, who reveled in their knowledge instead of the knowledge of God. Now, why die? Why would God take on human flesh? Verse 22 states that he might present you. Now, that term present you is defined as to place beside or near, to present. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. But the word present there is the same thing as here in verse 22 of Colossians chapter 1. And it is that presenting, it is the placing beside or near. To present you, he had to die for you. Now, friend, death speaks of real suffering, not just the appearance of it. The atonement for our sin came not through his birth, not through his baptism or his miracles, yea, or even his teachings, but through his shed blood on the cross, dying for us, being buried, and raising from the dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 states it this way: having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now notice that we are separated from God by sin. We are enemies of God. We are alienated from God by sin. And Jesus removes alienation and the enemy status by his death. He is the propitiation, as 1 John chapter 2 tells us, for our sin. And so he has removed it through his body. And to present you brings us to the ultimate purpose of reconciliation. Now try to fathom it. The Almighty God of the universe, who created the millions of creations and individuals, has specific individual things he wants to do for you personally. Now look at the three things in salvation he seeks to do for you. Let me read Titus 2, 11 and 12. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, when we think of that and we relate it to our text, we see a parallel. For he says in our text, in verse 22 and 23, especially verse 22, he says, to present you holy. As a matter of fact, we see three ways that he's going to present us. First of all, it is to present you holy. This is the positive side. Christians are set apart, consecrated, and dedicated to God. By the way, let me just insert this. Holiness speaks of our inner man, of the inner relationship with God. Righteousness speaks of the works that we do in this body that begin from that inner relationship as it is tied to the Word of God, and as those works work themselves out, you might say, and that is our righteousness. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 10, Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, "All mine are thine." In John 17, 17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, he's saying that all mine are thine. And then he's saying, sanctify them. That is, set them apart through thy truth. And how does he do that? Through the word. And so he uses the word to sanctify us. And then in John 17, 20 through 24, Jesus, as he continues his prayer, says, "Neither pray I for these alone." In other words, not just the apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, as these men were used of God to write the word of God, then we come to faith in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus here is praying for you and me, praying specifically for us. He says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." What a tremendous prayer, and he doesn't forget us in that prayer. But my friend, you'll notice that we might be one in him. And let me just add this, biblical unity. Now, there's a large call today for unity in religion, but my friend, that unity is calling for compromise. Well, let's forget the doctrines that make us different. Do you realize that the Bible, in its call for unity, and by the way, it uses the word unity itself, I believe, in the New Testament only in Ephesians chapter 4. And in that call for unity, it lets us know basically the unity is already there. In other words, there's no compromise. The word is the word. And we decide that we're either going to enter into that unity with God or we're going to stay away from it. And so when people want unity today, that unity better be built upon the doctrine of God's word. It better be 100% purely upon God's word. And if it's not, don't enter that unity. It is something Satan will most definitely corrupt. You know, it's interesting to me. Sometimes couples will come forward in a church and they want to dedicate a baby. And some will come and give something valuable. Maybe it's a car, maybe it's land. But they want it to be used as seen fit for God's house. Well, Jesus Christ has, in this great prayer of John 17, dedicated you collectively and individually to the Father. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all, who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.